Hey, we still have these Trump Pence 2020 black t-shirts. And in fact, our mascot, Butch, an Irish setter for the radio station, he's wearing one walking around here right now.
They're a nice
golden
t-shirt.
Retriever. Not Irish setter, golden retriever. I'll get my dogs right eventually.
They're a nice t-shirt. And I'm guessing this year, this election, there's going to be more people willing to wear the Trump gear. I know the first time around, even Trump supporters, they were a little hesitant, and I don't know. But this year, I think people are going to wear it proud.
I would have no problems doing that because you know what? He's done some incredibly good things for America, for American families, for the future of this country. And one of the biggest things that he's done, in my estimation, is to fill the judiciary, 187.
Yes.
Judgeships, both at the Supreme Court, appellate court, and district court level, with men and women who believe in the Constitution as written and the principles and the values behind why that Constitution was written the way it was. Somebody's joining me is a lovely young lady I just met last night, Christina, and it's
Malimon,
and you are National Committee Woman for the Young Republicans.
Yes.
So welcome. First of all, what is a National Committee Woman for the National Republican, for the Young Republicans? What do you do?
So I am the face and the voice mm-hmm. for the Young Republicans. My goal is to speak out for the younger people, have them not be afraid to speak up and be able to. So we're trying to make a difference here in Oregon. We want people to not be afraid to say who they are and who they stand for.
So, you know, young Republicans are typically on campuses, and most of our campuses in Oregon are not exactly bastions of conservative thought. So how do you handle, you know, some of the ugliness that you get as, first of all, a Republican, number one, but somebody whose philosophy, general political philosophy, is greatly different from your professors, from the politically correct nature of today's college campuses? How do you guys deal with that?
Yes, that's also another one of our goals. We want to partner with different organizations, one of which is Turning Point USA.
Right. Great organization.
Yes. Yeah. And so what we want to do is partner with them and have people from our team go out and meet with the individuals in schools and have them be able to say what they believe is right, right. and not be worried to do
that. Yeah, do it without fear.
Exactly.
You know, not that somebody's going to yell and scream at you and force you or hit you, assault you. And all of these things have happened to conservatives who've gone on some, you know, very high-profile videos of that happening on certain campuses around, not just Oregon, but really around the whole country. So,
and it's changing.
It is changing.
We will change that. We have to have people who are courageous to step up, and we are not afraid of them. And that's what's happening. And we want others to join us, other individuals, younger Republicans to join us, and pass this message. And we are a big organization. We continue to grow daily.
Are you really?
We are really.
Well, that's good.
We have an amazing team. Everyone is on our team for the right reasons. They love our country. They want to make sure we keep those values and that our country was built upon. Everyone's very passionate about what they do, and it continues to grow.
Are you seeing kind of a renewed inspiration in the party, and especially with the younger generations?
Yes, 100%.
Is it because of what's happening on the national level with Donald Trump and his campaign and what they've been able to accomplish?
Yes, I think what has happened with Donald Trump, this impeachment nonsense, it has awoken a lot of people's eyes. Like myself, I was never interested in politics in the past. Yes.
And look at you now. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this has got me to see what's really going on in the world. Donald Trump has opened up a lot of people to realize what's happening. And I see so many young individuals, and just I'd say every community is seeing what's happening. And there's so much passion, and people really want to make sure that they don't break our country apart with what they're trying to do, like even here right now.
That's so, liberty is a precious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that young people on, especially college campuses, but you're who the young Republicans work with and speak to, do you think they care about liberty?
Yes, 100%. I think a lot of the people I'm around know how precious that is, know that that's why we're such a great country, is because we have that, and we need to fight for that. We need to keep the liberty in our in the United States. I've been to another event in Florida where Donald Trump has attended, and we had great speakers there. And something that was very kind of down to my heart was Matthew Whitaker's speech, and he said that you will have to fight for liberty all of your life, and right. Do that with all of your heart, and never allow them to take it away from you. And I just think that is so true, and it's something that we're doing.
You know, Ronald Reagan had a great quote about that. He said, liberty is not passed to our offspring in our genes. It has to be taught. It has to be fought for. And that is so true. You know, you know families where you have their conservative families and they have incredibly liberal children. Commonsensically grounded in both conservative and thought and the principles of our founders. So when you go back to D.C., do people, I mean, you know, Oregon's a pretty far left place in some people's eyes. I mean, it's really a lot more purple than white. Most people think, but so what do they ask you? Other young Republicans, well, like, I mean, do they make statements like, what's wrong with your state? Or you know, what do they say to you?
That's a great question. So
I always tell them too many Californians moved in.
Amen to that.
Great question. Yes. Whenever I mention that I'm from Portland, especially Portland, Oregon, I get big eyes, and they're like, oh, wow, no way. How do you guys do it over there? They're surprised to see that we have conservative Republicans out here. But in reality, we have so many more, and a lot of people are not saying that they are because they're afraid to do that.
The message that you bring is actually really inspiring, because one of the reasons that we feel like we've had this shift in ideology is because of indoctrination in our school systems.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the college professors and teachers are forcing this belief down our children's, you know, minds, and that's their reality. So hearing that you're getting a lot of younger generation people that are conservative and want to be a part of the Republican Party and be active now, it's kind of refreshing.
That's good.
I was starting to feel like, man, it's almost a lost cause, but you're proof that it's not. And we need to keep fighting these battles and keep working hard to get the message out.
Yes.
And it can make a difference. And here you are.
And this is, you know, as I chatted with you just briefly last night, the executive club meeting, this is kind of personal for you and your family. Why don't you share with our audience why?
Yeah. So the reason we've moved to the United States was because of freedom of religion. My great-grandpa was prosecuted for being religious, for being Christian.
In which country?
Moldova.
Okay.
And he was put to jail at 29 for being Christian. He never came back. My grandma was 2 years old. She then, when she grew up, she got married. She was also put to jail. Her husband was in jail. Her husband was in jail for 5 years and then came back. And so we know what it's like to live in a socialist country where you aren't able to make the decisions you want to make. It's made for you. And we know what it's like to not have that freedom of religion. And my great-grandpa is a great example for me that we need to fight for our liberty, and because we do have the best country, and we need to make sure it stays that way.
Oh, yeah. Well, you certainly give us hope. You certainly give us hope, because it's good to know that young Republicans are having an impact on college campuses, and that your ranks are growing, and that there are people that are willing to receive the message of liberty. And that's really what it's about more than anything. Christina Malamon.
Malamon.
Yes. I'll say it right. Very nice to meet you, and thank you for dropping by to talk to our
Thank you so much. Keep up the good work, and we're going to keep helping you get that message out.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Christina.
Thank you.
All right, friends. We're gonna talk with another old friend of mine from a few years ago that I talk to every now and then when I run into him. Craig Pope, how are you, brother?
I'm good. Thank
you. You're a longtime serving Polk County Commissioner.
I am. 9 years. This is my 10th year as a county commissioner.
So you're still in the fight. How come?
I'm still in the fight.
Because I'm one of his constituents. I got to say, he's one of the hardest working commissioners Polk County's ever had.
That's right.
And he knows when I'm not happy, but typically we agree. So
yeah. Well, and again, you know, I mean, you've helped, Jeff. You've helped train me that it is a representative form of government, and I'm here to help represent Polk County. Now, do I believe everybody's going to understand my position being here today with the Timber Unity Group and representing Oregonians? Maybe not, but I'll make my case, and I'll continue to try to make my case that agriculture, timber, and the natural resource community will be absolutely impacted by what's going on in this building today.
Without question. Yes,
and
they
part
will.
Of what I'm here for today is to help also educate people about this is not what this session was supposed to be for.
No, never.
I want this torn down. I want this to end.
No, this is a disgrace, what they're doing.
It is.
Absolutely. It was to make minor tweaks and adjustments to bills that they passed in the maiden session.
That never happens.
Never happens.
You know, this. What happens is what we're seeing. You've got a 100-page cap-and-trade bill. I think it's ballooned to 100 pages now.
Yeah, and closer to 160, I think.
Okay. So that's news
to me.
It's even worse than what I thought it was. That they're going to try to understand all of the nuances and the language and how it really affects your county, your work as a county commissioner, you as a private business owner, Mickey as a private business, me as a fifth-generation Oregon farmer. You can't figure all of that out in 35 days. And
nope.
I'll tell you why my voice of experience, and you know this from your work, in the years I served in this House of Representatives, every session we would have cleanup legislation to fix problems of previously passed legislation in prior years that they had the unintended consequences, right? So we're fixing bills that we didn't really think through well.
Right.
And that's in the long session where you've
right.
got 6 months. Now they want to do it in 35 days. It's insane. And you're right. This is not what this was intended for. And the people of Oregon ought to reject it.
And
yes.
then putting an emergency clause on everything now.
Yes.
So we can't take it to the voters.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, some of this stuff we've taken to the voters. We adamantly said no.
Right.
And they're doing it anyway. So.
Well, I think the other thing that's important to inject in here, I do appreciate you giving me a minute to talk about it, is the fact that some of the conversation in this cap and trade legislation has been about through the taxes for transportation has been to initiate a place where counties have to initiate their own climate initiatives.
Right.
And so that is part of the language in the bill right now is to make county commissioners responsible for doing more of this work. And again, it's one of those challenges we have as county commissioners. We're constantly getting these mandates, unfunded mandates, and in this case, they're claiming there'll be funds, but this is not the work I want to do. I don't believe in the United States of America, with all the marketing opportunities we have today, the technology that we're advancing the globe with,
and the booming economy.
Need this. We don't need this. We're showing the world how to clean up our climate. We're doing it.
Right.
We don't need this legislation to do that for us.
Oregon's already ahead of schedule, and the numbers that stuff.
Right.
Anyway, if Oregon didn't exist, it won't be relevant in the global picture. That's the reality. This is just a money grab. They want to take this money and use it for their own pet projects, and it's just going to cripple industry and cripple counties like Polk County that, you know, we've really been working hard. I know the commissioners have been working hard. The city councils have been working hard to try to bring industry back and doing everything we can, looking underneath every single stone to try to entice industry to come back into our communities. And stuff like this is just killing business every direction.
It would be one thing to acknowledge that is the what we believe is going to be the impact, okay? It's one thing to acknowledge that. It's another thing to think that that's going to happen for no real change at all. Because it doesn't impact China or India. It doesn't impact other countries, developing countries. And this is what's so wrong about this. You're going to destroy our way of life. You're going to make life so crazy. And I've got a question to ask you in a moment. So crazy, impossible to implement these edicts come down from high at the local level that you're going to kill counties. You're going to kill what's left of certain industries in certain places. And for no good, real, achievable outcome. So let me ask you this. If this legislation actually gets passed and it forces you to have to do your own climate action plan, can you declare yourself a sanctuary county?
That's a great question, Jeff. I don't know the answer to that question. I had never thought about it before, but it is something I think we're going to be thinking about more and more as time goes on. As I just explained to Representative Nierman, I am very concerned about whether or not a conservative commissioner, a conservative board like we have in Polk County can actually exist going forward. If this bill passes and the county commissioners are responsible for initiating climate action, I don't believe conservative commissioners will last, because our electorate on the conservative side will say, you need to go. And I would be one of those people that would vote that way. No, don't do it. And so initially what we're going to end up doing is opening the door for more of that kind of this kind of leadership that's happening in this building into county seats as well.
Maybe we can combine a sanctuary county for both this cap and trade nonsense and the 2A stuff that's going on. A couple of years ago, Craig and I actually worked on a resolution for Polk County to protect our Second Amendment rights. And so we've got that in, but now we need an ordinance. We need a sanctuary city for that. And so,
well, you know, that movement is happening not just in Oregon, but it's happening in other places across the country. And we've, in many ways, we've sort of led the way in Oregon with sanctuary counties. And the rationale, the legal justification for it is no different than what Kate Brown and the city of Portland did and other cities that declare themselves sanctuary cities for illegal aliens.
Right.
The legal justification is the same, except that the Constitution doesn't guarantee you a right to come to this state and be an illegal alien.
Exactly.
It does guarantee our right, as the Oregon's Constitution does, to keep and bear a weapon, a firearm.
We have a stronger legal stance for a sanctuary city to protect our Second Amendment rights than they have for illegal immigration. So, I'm going to come in your office, because that's been something that I've been pushed hard on from the people that communicate with me. And they know that we did that resolution a few years ago. But with what Salem's doing right now, it looks like it might be a time to do something a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more set in stone, to create some type of ordinance that revolves around protecting our Second Amendment rights.
And I think, Mickey, the thing that we're going to need some help on as we do that, so I'm absolutely all about having that conversation, but I think we need to make certain that we've got a strong legal case as we move forward, because if we initiate these kinds of ordinances, how do we battle with the state of Oregon? Again, I'm as a your county commissioner, in the middle of the biggest tort claim the state of Oregon has ever seen, with our $1.4 billion action against the state for their timber contract violation.
Correct.
And so inevitably what this comes down to is that we have to sue the state to protect ourselves. And so we're going to have to know that we've got a strong coalition with good legal justification for the things that we're doing. I'm all for it. I'm all about that. But we've got to make certain we've got the law that's supporting us as we do it.
Well, I'll do the legwork for you like we did on the resolution. And there's several counties that have already made the steps forward to do that. And so we're not going to have to reinvent the wheel.
Yep.
We just need to coordinate with these other counties and look at what they did and what worked and what didn't. And, you know, it's not going to be a quick process, but it's something that we need to start, I think. And because who knows what's going to happen, you know? Events like today are promising this type of energy and this conservative movement and people that are willing to say enough is enough. It's really promising, but we just need to make sure that we keep this momentum going in through November and carry it out. You know, remember, we got 3 more years of Kate Brown.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, people are looking at this like, oh, it's almost over. No, she just got reelected. We got 3 more years of whatever messes she's going to create for the state of Oregon. And so we need to be vigilant. And we need to be unified. We need to stand together.
Agreed.
So
one of the things that I shared with my opinion with some of the Timber Unity leadership folks is that what do we do tomorrow? So we can see what we're doing here today, and there's a great amount of energy, and it's fantastic. But what do we do tomorrow? And so that my position is, again, to what I stated in the beginning here, is that we need to find a pathway to stop this legislative process that's going on. Why we're experiencing this with this 35-day session, Timber Unity has to take this up and continue to help educate the followers and the members so that they understand what this is about, so that we can lead a strong campaign when it's time.
A successful campaign to get something on the ballot by the voters that would block them from being able to do this kind of crap in a short session.
But we have to go back for a constitutional amendment to take this off.
Right.
That's what has to happen. We did a constitutional amendment to put this in place because we were told this is what we need in order to do the cleanup work that Jeff was talking about. But that's not where we are anymore, is it?
No.
It's turned
no.
into, you know, a rapid fire regular session.
That's exactly what it's turned into. And like Jeff said, that you can't get it right in a full session, you know, and then to expect to put these big bills in front of the legislators in such a short session and think that it's going to be right and not have consequences is ridiculous.
Absolutely agree.
So, well, we appreciate the work that you're doing for us. And I know Polk County appreciates it. And we'll stay in touch. And we're going to keep fighting for Oregon because that's what it's all about. It's about fighting for the future.
Absolutely.
So, all right, Commissioner Craig Pope, thank you for stopping by.
Appreciate it.
Remember, folks, we got free T-shirts here. We got Trump Pence 2020 black T-shirts, and they're free. Come by the booth, and we'll give you some. And we also got to remind you guys that radio is not free. We have a lot of sponsors here. We got True Value. We have Cascade Fruit and Produce. We have Odmo's Pizza. If you haven't had their pizza, it is delicious. In fact, we're supposed to get
some pizza here.
Yeah, I'm getting hungry. I'm looking for some pizza. My wife doesn't want me to have pizza. I'm already in trouble.
I'm getting hungry. I want some pizza.
Yep. And then we got Budget Rooter Plumbing Service, Timber Unity, obviously. That's why we're here today. They're one of the greatest sponsors. And Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning, Associated Oregon Loggers, and Extreme Graphics. This is why we're down here today, because of you, the sponsors. Thank you very much for supporting KSLM Radio. Thank you for supporting Timber Unity. And, man, it's exciting to see the crowd that is still going on. We've been here since 5 o'clock in the morning, and it's just continued to get busier and busier. The convoy hasn't stopped once. The horns are being solid. Inside the building, those legislators, they have to be getting a clear message right now.
Oh, they are. I mean, I can tell you from having served here for 8 years in the House of Representatives how I can guarantee you that virtually every room here in the Capitol building, you can hear these horns going off. I mean, believe me, you can. It's an amazing thing. I'm shaking hands with a couple of very fine gentlemen that maybe if we have a moment, we can put one or both of them on the air. This whole thing is cap and trade is built on a lie. Okay. And these two guys know this issue forwards and backwards, upwards and down. And so why don't we get them mic'd up? This is Chuck Weiss is joining us he's a guy who's been so passionate about this issue for a long time.
Well, glad to be here.
Yeah, it's and
this is quite a turnout. I'm estimating 8,000-10,000 people, I think.
This is an amazing thing.
They outdid themselves in from what they did in June. It's
well, and we still have people coming in.
Yes, we do.
And Dr. Gordon
Folks.
Folks, F-U-L-K-S.
Sure.
Both he and Chuck are, well, Dr. Folks, you are a physicist.
Correct.
Correct?
Correct. Okay. I don't forecast the weather. Chuck does that.
Okay. Chuck's a forecaster, also former airline pilot. He's got a great story to tell you about sitting on the runway on 9/11.
Yes.
Sad story to tell you about that. But you guys spoke to the crowd today. What did you share with the crowd?
Well, my main message was that this whole thing, and I've been saying it for a long time, Jeff, you know that, because I've also spoken to the executive club, which you go to. It's based upon fraud. There's just no easy way to say it. I pointed out that I'm ashamed of Oregon State University. That's the place I graduated from, and I learned so much from these people, but money got to them, and the science has been corrupted with this. And my proof of it that I offered to the audience today was a full-page ad that the Oregonian took out that was sponsored and paid for by what this political group calls itself the Union of Concerned Scientists. I call them the Dirty 70 that signed this petition, but they basically lied about climate change. And they said that if we pass this climate bill, it'll make some sort of a difference to the climate. And that's just nonsense. That's easy to prove wrong because Oregon's emissions are only, they're 68 million metric tons, and that's only 0.18%. 1,800 to 1% of the global emission total. So even if you wiped all of it out, which is impossible, you wouldn't even move the meter as far as measuring it at Mauna Loa.
So let's just say that again, folks. So you caught what he just said. 1/1800th of 1%.
That's Oregon's emissions.
Now, just think about that, folks. 1/1800th of 1%. It means it's virtually undetectable.
Yes.
It will do nothing.
It will do nothing. If you wiped all of it.
Yeah. But we're not talking about wiping it all out. But if you did wipe it all out, it would be 1/1800th of 1%.
That's right. And so you couldn't even measure it. So even if you believed this nonsense that the failed climate models tell us about CO2 warming the climate, it wouldn't make any difference to those predictions either. And the other side acknowledges that. It would make no difference to the output of the climate models because the CO2 wouldn't move, and the CO2 is what they put into these failed models to make their predictions with, and they are failed. They haven't even demonstrated that CO2 is changing the climate at all. The record is terrible. We've had 30 years to look at it now. It's running three times as hot as it should, and that's a fail from the physics side. Gordon can attest to that. But so these were the things that I was bringing out today and basically told them, hey, Kate Brown, if you want this thing to become law, then quit lying about it. Quit calling it a climate bill because it's not a climate bill. It's not going to do anything to the climate. So relabel it an energy sales tax and a darn expensive one because that's what it is. And then put it out for a vote. Don't try to shove this down our throats. And you know what? They will not do that because they know if they did, it's never going to pass.
Well, especially on the heels of all the hidden sales taxes that are raising our cost of living and all of our energy and everything else that we're saddled with. So, Dr. Folks, I wanted to ask you from the technical physics side of this thing, what do you think of what NASA just said the other day about the sunspot activity, and how does that relate to quote-unquote global warming climate change?
Well, we don't really know. That is certainly part of our climate, but the sun changes very little, even though the sunspots change a lot. However, we know that when the sunspots go away completely, we generally have very cold weather. The little ice age looks like.
Well, isn't that kind of what they said might be looking at us if the sunspot activity stays? We might be actually headed into a little ice age?
To a Maunder minimum or Dalton minimum, yes. And politicians should take note because the Dalton minimum was during the French Revolution. And I tell politicians they shouldn't lose their heads over climate
change. There was a few guillotine executions then.
But it didn't improve the climate. Eventually, the sun came back into substantial activity. We got warmer. We're certainly warmer than we were in the Little Ice Age. And things simply improved. So sunspots went up and up and up in the 11-year cycles, kind of like this. And then they peaked about 1960, and they've been working their way down a little bit now, but they have dropped off to something that looks like it could be a Maunder minimum. That was an enormously cold period. That was in the 1600s. That resulted in the English Civil War, the tough conditions
Irish there. Potato famine and a whole bunch of other
things. That's the 1800s.
Because it happened again, didn't it?
Well, that
extremely cold winter and unpredictable weather in Europe.
Well, we had the year without a summer in 1815, something that Thomas Jefferson noted. That was the explosion of Mount Tambora in Indonesia that cooled the climate so much that they had frosts in the middle of summer in New England, which ruined the crops, which meant that it led to the largest famine in the 19th century.
So what was your message to the Timber Unity audience today?
Well, my message was much like what I give to the executive club. I gave a climate report, and I talked about the global temperature being a little bit warm because we're borderline El Nino. The ocean effects dictate the climate quite substantially. Carbon dioxide doesn't have much to do with that. But very recently, it's been a lot colder in the Arctic. It's been warm here, but it's been a lot colder in the Arctic. Fort Yukon, Alaska, which holds the record high temperature for Alaska, 100 degrees Fahrenheit in June 1915, was 40 to 50 degrees below zero in January. It was amazing. It was down to about 50 below zero.
Wow.
That's amazingly cold. What does that say for our climate here, our weather here. Well, I call up Chuck and I say, is any of that coming south? And he says, oh, it looks like a little bit is coming south, because once it does, that's when our chance of snow comes. Now, this year we didn't get much, so it remains cold up there. The cold air hasn't worked its way down. And typically when it works its way down, then warm air comes up in Alaska and the other side reports warming in Alaska. Gee, it's
global warming.
It's trade of cold air coming down over us for warm air going up over them. But that's not the end of the story in terms of the cold in the Arctic. Greenland had its coldest temperature ever recorded. At Summit Camp, the National Science Foundation site on the top of the Greenland ice cap, went to 87 degrees below zero Fahrenheit.
Goodness.
They have never
in any
part of Greenland ever recorded a temperature. Wow.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing, Jeff. I always point this out, too, because everybody says, well, we know CO2 is changing the climate. And one of my favorite things that I ask them is, okay, so you say it's changing the climate. Well, how is it then if it's changing the climate? Because the whole thing is predicated upon the fact that the surface radiation leaving the Earth, it's slowed down by more CO2, and therefore the temperatures at night are going to get warmer, and they'll cause the increase in the daytime temperatures. Well, then how is it, if that's true, that can we get these records that they either break all-time low-temperature records or they assail records that are 100 years old? CO2 is 36% higher in the atmosphere right now, yet we continue to assail records that are 100 years old, and in the case of Gordon's on Greenland, that's a brand new one. We had never been that cold before. So if CO2 is having this blanket effect, how can we do this? Well, I never get an answer to that, because the answer to it is it's water vapor and water vapor in the hydro cycle that control the Earth's climate, not the CO2.
Is any of that cold weather coming our way?
Yeah, we're going to get a shot at it. We're going to get some cold weather coming in early next week, but whether it snows, it's kind of just kind of impossible to tell this far in advance. But winter's not quite over with us yet.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. I've got a feeling we're going to get clipped in the end.
One thing I can tell you, I'm not a meteorologist, but I can tell you because I've looked at the records. Once you pass Groundhog Day, the 2nd of February, the record low temperatures rise quite considerably, and we're into the teens. You don't get temperatures colder than that after about the 2nd of February. Remember, the days are getting longer. We're getting more sunshine. Can't get that cold. Now, he still sneaks in, Chuck, a little bit of cold air coming out of the Arctic. Pretty soon, the sun takes care of all of that, and we're into spring. And then we have Al Gore's worst nightmare. We have temperature going up about 1 degree Fahrenheit every few days. It's called spring and summer, but it's a climate effect.
Yeah. All right, so you know, the left, when you the environmentalists who try to pitch this as climate change and global warming is all as a result of what we're doing, all these issues we just talked about, and then when you call them on it, they change the subject to other things like ocean acidification.
Oh God.
Okay, so when they do that, you know that something's afoot, because they cannot directly debate you because they don't have the facts on their side, right?
Right.
But what about these other smoke screens they throw up, like ocean acidification or other greenhouse gases that are having a negative impact? What do you guys have as an answer to that?
My answer to it is, if you look at the climatological records, you either look at the ice core records or the geological records. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, that's going on with our climate today that's escaped the swings in climate that we can see in these past records. And they go back millions of years.
Wow.
So if you're not doing anything different today, how can you make a claim that CO2 is causing this catastrophic warming? Well, we know for a fact that a lot of these claims made that it is are based upon faked and altered data. That, I'm having a real problem with that. Michael Mann was totally discredited when he invented his so-called hockey stick graph. He mixed the instrumental record in with tree ring data, and he threw out parts of the tree ring data that didn't conform to his hypothesis. That's fraud. I mean, you just can't get away with this kind of stuff. But that's what he did to say, oh, here's the unprecedented warming. But if you look at the satellite temperatures, which we've been able to track since 1979, they don't conform to anything that he had with his hockey stick. And the instrumental record, too, does not support it, if you just take a look at that. They managed to manipulate it because they dropped a lot of stations out that no longer report, and they still have the IDs, and they backfill them with their guesstimates of what they think the climate is doing in places where they really don't have any data. And so you can make a climate catastrophe out of that anytime you want, and that's exactly what they've done. They've altered the real record, and so you've got to look at the real data, not fictitious data or things that they call their own estimates.
All right, so... are sea levels really rising, Dr. Folks?
they have been for 10,000 years. There's not much difference now than, there's a lot of difference now than 10,000 years ago, because they were rising very rapidly. Right. Now they're rising just a slight amount, a millimeter per year, something like that. The alarmists claim 3 millimeters a year and say, oh my God. Now, what's happening along the Oregon coast? Well, the land's probably rising as fast as the sea level, so there's no change there. That's right. Kind of a false reading. But it's difficult to measure something that's a millimeter per year in oceans with 40-foot swells.
Right. How do you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, that just gets back to people that have an agenda, skewing the data. You know, you wouldn't have to have hockey stick controversies. You wouldn't have to have the hacking of the scientists over there in their emails claiming they had to, you know, massage the data. You wouldn't have to do all of that stuff if your data was real and it was conclusive. And you guys are scientists.
Well, if somebody wasn't paying us to do
what's happening with
the other side. They're getting paid to do
this. And nobody's paying you to.
No, nobody's not paying us anything.
Stand against this, man.
We hope to get a free hot dog if we go over the other side there.
And that's the thing about this whole thing that's so disappointing, is that the money really corrupted it. I mean, if these people that sell a climate catastrophe like Al Gore, the public universities, our state legislators that want something out of it, if you take this problem and say it's really not a problem, their money goes away. It dries up.
Right.
And people are making a living off of this, and so they're not going to let it go. They just keep storytelling. And then when we find out, when we check up on what their claims are, they're not true. But, you know, try to get a large part of the media to buy into that and to report the other side, and it's been problematic. They don't seem to want to do it.
Yeah. Well, I admire both of you for standing in the gap as guys who get and understand this for free. You're just doing it because you're passionate about it, because you know it's the right thing to do. Thank you for doing it. Chuck Weiss.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
I appreciate it. Dr. Gordon Folks, thank you both. It's just a pleasure to talk with you both and get a dose of common sense and reality.
Yes,
we appreciate that. All right, friends, we're going to continue on here, and maybe we'll even get Curtis Crittenden back in the mix here with us. At some point, I'm going to have to quit talking and let somebody else get engaged here. So it is. It's been a great day to be here with this. It looks like the main program is over with for right now in terms of speakers and that kind of thing. But we're still going to have conversations with people that are here for a good reason and talk with them about why they're here and what they think the impact of not only this kind of rally is, but what's going to come out of it in the long run. So, Mickey, what you got?
I tell you what, I'm still in awe of the trucks that are driving past here. So it's pretty crazy. We do have James Ball, state representative. Let's get James.
James,
mic'd up.
Why don't you come on over? James, welcome. So you're running for the state house.
Correct.
In which district?
In House District 36, which is downtown Portland, west of the river.
Oh, that's a tough neighborhood, isn't it?
It is a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the question I always ask, having, you know, when I first ran for office for the legislature was 1999.
Sure.
And everywhere I went, people said, so why are you doing this? So I'm going to ask you that question. What's your why?
Well, I spent 8 years in the Army and had a real sense of purpose while I was doing that. After I left the Army it just wasn't for me. Came back, started working in corporate America. And after 4.5 years of that, just realized that I wanted to contribute. I wanted to do something that mattered, something that helps the state and the country and the world in a way that's more than just making money for shareholders. So I believe that voters deserve a choice. I believe that this is a heavily Democratic district, but, you know, just having a name on the ballot and doing my best to give the voters an option when it comes to the ballot in November.
A reasonable option.
A reasonable option.
That's the thing. That Democrat side is so far left.
Absolutely.
They're hurting themselves.
Yeah.
You know, at some point I keep thinking the voters got to wake up and realize, hey, my own party's hurting me. They're working against me, and start looking at people that are reasonable.
Well, that's the hope. That's the hope. I think that there's enough people in my district who see what's going on in Salem and see the government overreach and see the taxes and spend. And this cap and trade is a great example of a bill that it doesn't actually do the things that it's supposed to do. It is a tax wrapped in greenwashed just nonsense. It doesn't help the environment. It doesn't reduce carbon. It's just a tax.
That's all it is. It's just about them getting money to fund their pet projects.
Exactly.
And it's not going to do anything to reduce the carbons.
Exactly.
So, James, I want to compliment you on, first of all, a great palm cart.
Oh, thank you.
And I'll tell you why, because it doesn't have so much stuff on it that you lose people. Okay, you've got a great picture here. You talk about your basic philosophy. You have your logo on it, or your motto for your campaign. You have your website on it. And then you turn around and back, and you got a couple of pictures, and you got just three things that you're talking about: roads, education, homelessness. I run campaigns, and I will tell you that's so important to just quickly get people's attention about these issues, right?
Yep.
And if you have like a bazillion words, you're writing out a whole white paper that you expect somebody to read on, they'll never read it. Okay. When you knock on somebody's door and they're not home and you leave this on their doorstep, hopefully in a clear plastic door hanger,
right?
So it survives the rain and it's not laying as trash on their doorstep, right? They're going to look at it and go, roads, education, homelessness. Oh, he's a veteran. By the way, is that Afghanistan?
That is Afghanistan.
Yeah,
yes.
Good. When were you there?
Three times I was there, 2009, 2011, and then 2014-15.
Wow. Awesome. You're a ground pounder?
I was a communications officer. I got to go on a couple missions, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Absolutely. No, I was a civilian broadcaster embedded with Oregon National Guard Ranger units in both Iraq and Afghanistan. It was in 06 in Afghanistan.
Okay.
Hung out with the ground pounders. Yep. So this is good because this is so important because a lot of people are only ever going to learn this about you and going to see it maybe at their doorstep. They're going to get their voter's pamphlet in the mail and they're going to read a little bit about you. And that's why what you share with people who are never going to meet you or are not going to have an opportunity to meet you before they make a decision to vote for you, to have something that's clear and concise that is, well, it's just unmistakable that they get and know kind of who you are. And this is the way you want to do this, because I will tell you that when people, again, try to put on a palm card or a trifold, a white paper, it just doesn't work. Fewer words, more pictures is always better. Never, ever go past three things when you're talking to people, whether it's here on the radio show, or it's when you're at the chamber meeting or you're at a school board meeting. Never go more than three topics because you'll lose people entirely because they can't remember.
That's true.
Okay, it's just how we're wired as human beings, okay? So let me ask you, what are your top three things that you want to achieve to benefit the people you want to serve?
Well, the first and foremost is homelessness. It is incredible. We have the point-in-time estimate from 2 years ago has gone up 20% in the last 2 years in the Portland metro area. Actually, that might be statewide.
That's huge.
It's huge, 20% in the last 2 years, and our leadership is doing nothing about it. We've had the Wapato facility now, Bybee Lakes Hope Center. It has been vacant for 20 years, and finally we are getting private money to fund this homeless shelter that can provide 200 beds along with all of the different services that are needed all in one location. They're using private money because the state, county, city have no interest in funding this. It's amazing. So they're gonna have 200 beds, they're gonna have mental health services, they're going to have job training, they're going to have a commercial kitchen, they're going to have everything there at that Bybee Lakes facility, and doing it all with private money. It's amazing. Like
that's the way it should be.
Yeah, well, I think that we have all this money going into toward homeless services, and it's not doing anything.
It's not.
We need to focus that. We've already got the money available. It just needs to go to a better program that actually helps people and actually helps get them off the street.
Well, the government has put so much red tape that, you know, it used to be churches and other private entities that were taking care of homeless. And there's just so much red tape. It's such a hassle anymore that it's hard for those entities to do that.
Yeah.
And the government is failing miserably. They're not spending our money wisely.
It's a conflict of interest. The facilities that are getting federal and state money to help homeless people, they get money based on how many people come in through their doors.
Right.
It is in their interest to keep people on the street. If you were to actually solve the homelessness problem, all of those people lose their jobs.
That's right.
It's. I'm not saying that they're bad actors, that they're acting maliciously, but at the same time, there's this very strong conflict of interest that if we actually solve this problem we're trying to solve, I don't have a job anymore.
It's job security for them, and you're right. And, you know, no matter what avenue of the homeless topic you go down, whether it's affordable housing or whatever, all these government entities, the ones that are lobbying for all this stuff, they're protecting their own jobs.
They are.
Whether they even realize it themselves, that's exactly what they're doing. Yeah. And it's definitely an issue that could be addressed more successfully if you allow the private sector to do it. And that means cutting some regulations, removing that red tape, being a partner with them, and helping them to be successful instead of saying, no, you can't do it. Government's going to do everything.
Yeah.
And then you end up having what's happened in Portland, what's happening right now on Center Street, downtown Salem here.
Yep.
This homeless crisis that is ugly and unsanitary and really a problem that we've created ourselves through government programs, social programs.
Yep.
It's not about giving them a hand up anymore. It's giving them a permanent handout and taking away all the tools from the people that could legitimately make a positive difference.
Yep.
And so, yeah, that's a great topic right there. And, of course, that's a big one. And Oregon's not the only state that's having to deal with that.
That's something that matters to people in Portland as well. And, again, I'm a Republican running in a very Democratic district. They see it as well. You know, the Democrats, the Republicans, this is not a partisan issue. This is a helping
people.
It's a human issue. Exactly.
And it should transcend. And you're going to win if you can offer solutions to it that cross those party ideological lines. And if you keep talking like that, you do well. James Ball is
House District 36.
Running House District 36, which
downtown
is
Portland.
Downtown Portland. That's a tough district. You can go to his website, James4Oregon.com. James4Oregon.com. Good for you. Thanks for stepping into the bridge.
Good luck to you. Thanks for having the courage to run in that district.
Thank you.
All right.
Stay vigilant.
We're gonna mic up a friend of mine who's running for another really important local position, and that's county commission. Because you know what, the county commissioners, as you were talking with Craig Pope, Polk County Commissioner,
it starts at the local level. That's where we change the state. That's how we'll trickle it all the way to the top. The county commissioners are so important. So
Lindsay Bershauer joins us. She's a longtime friend of mine. Political consultant and smart gal, but she's passionate about politics. And you're running for Yamhill County Commissioner, right?
Yamhill County.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why? Tell me why.
Well, we found out this morning, there was a small group of us that met with the governor this morning before the rally. And we found out that we are on the chopping block a lot sooner than we thought. So,
how so?
Well, the three Portland metro counties, if cap and trade passes, will go into effect immediately. The rest of the entire western side of the state will go into effect in 2025, including Yamhill County.
Wow.
If 19 or more counties opt in, they can opt in, a county commissioner can opt in through an ordinance or whatever, then it's an automatic statewide mandate. So that is a new development that we learned this morning, and it's extremely concerning for me. Yamhill County has, 300 manufacturers. We're the sixth largest producing county for ag value. A third of our county is commercial timber. So this directly impacts my voters. And we already have one county commissioner, unfortunately, that has testified in favor of cap and trade. We don't need another. So that's why I'm running.
That's a pretty important reason.
I thought we were told that this wasn't going to hurt the rural communities.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, we didn't believe it then. We don't believe it now. Yeah.
No, we do not.
That's a bunch of lip service, I think. But I've been out talking to farmers in the county. This, on top of the commercial activity tax, they're terrified of it because they're just starting to deal with the impact of the cat taxes. And now this is looming. And, I mean, there's a palpable fear that this is going to put a lot of the smaller folks out of business.
You know, and the counties that this is going to hurt the most are the counties that were hurt the most with losing the timber revenues and or the spotted owl thing that we know is a bunch of hogwash now. And we've not recovered from that. And now they're going to do this, and it's just going to further cripple industry and an industry that is such an important part of these counties that you're working with.
Right.
So it's something that we have to stop. The Republicans have to know they have to walk out. They have to stop this because it's going to kill Oregon.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's people in the building that say this is too complicated for Oregonians to understand. But there's some very basic things that people understand. They understand that a tax is not going to solve our environmental issues.
Right.
They understand that they should be given a right to vote on something that's going to fundamentally change their communities.
Right.
So I just think that message is not working. And obviously we're seeing it today. Thousands of people protesting on the Capitol steps.
Yeah,
this has been a pretty powerful event, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was here for the last one, and this is amazing.
Yeah, it is. And the log trucks continue to come by and blare their horns. You can hear it in the background. Folks, you can still come by.
We got free T-shirts.
Yeah, we have free Trump Pence 2020 beautiful black T-shirts with white lettering on them. It's a great opportunity, friends, to come here and stand with other people like Lindsay Bershaw. By the way, Lindsay, do you have a website or a Facebook page?
Yeah, I'm very active on Facebook. You can find me Lindsay for Yamhill on Facebook. That's typically the best way to get a
Lindsay
hold of
for Yamhill is better than trying to spell out your last name.
I know.
Yes. Lindsay for Yamhill, that's your Facebook page,
yeah.
Right?
And like I said, I announced last June, right after the rally, the last rally, and Timber Unity has energized so many voters that had their head down and they were just trying to take care of their families, and now they are paying attention.
Well, and you have some additional new allies with Timber Unity in this movement. You've got, you know, we're going to talk to Anna in a moment, who's from the Old Believer Russian community. She's running for state representative. They've never really been involved in politics. And
right.
There's Amber from Oregonians for Medical Freedom, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many of these moms and other people that care about their parental rights,
absolutely.
Care about them choosing when and how many vaccinations their kids get. All of these are people that are coming together in kind of a new grassroots coalition. Timber Unity has the heart of it, but man, all these other people. And I, Lindsay, I'm excited about that because they'll make a huge difference in your race.
Oh, yeah. In the story of the Russian Old Believers suddenly becoming politically active, I think is one of the most amazing stories I've heard this year.
So. Yeah, and so we're excited about that. I'm excited about your candidacy. So it's Lindsay for Oregon.
Lindsay for Yamhill.
No, for Yamhill. Mm-hmm. Lindsay for Yamhill. Right?
On Facebook. Yep.
On Facebook. Okay. Very good. Lindsay Bershauer.
Thank you so much.
Wish you the best.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good luck,
go get them.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah. Those local elections, so important.
Oh, it's everything.
It is everything.
It's absolutely everything.
And that's how they get the experience to move up into the other positions that are vital to our country. So
we're gonna get Anna mic'd up here, and she is.
Well, you're mic'ing her up. Let me just mention our sponsors here. We got True Value. We got Cascade Fruit and Produce. We got Oddmo's Pizza. We have Timber Unity, major sponsor of this event. The reason we're here today, Advantage Heating and Air Conditioning, Associated Oregon Loggers, Inc., and Extreme Graphics. Radio costs money. These people are paying for us to stand here today and help get the message out that is so important.
And speaking of somebody that needs to get the message out, is someone from what we call the Old Believer community,
they're
typically the Russian community, so prevalent around the Mid-Valley area here, but other places of Oregon too. Anna, and forgive me, how do I say your last name?
Kasachov.
Kasachov, okay.
Yep.
Anna Kasachov, you are running for state representative in which district?
House District 22.
Where is that?
So that starts out in Woodburn, and it runs along the I-5 corridor up to about North Salem.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. So the question I ask every candidate, no matter what office they're running for, is the why question. Why are you running?
Gosh, why am I running? So last year is the first year that the Russian Old Believer got engaged in the political arena, and we realized that advocacy at the Capitol wasn't enough. And so we searched high and low in our community to see if there was anyone interested in running for a seat. And my name was nominated quite a bit. Might be because we are the founders of the Russian Old Believer community movement. So we actually got our community registered to vote, which is historic.
You guys have never really done that.
Nope.
Why?
I think it had a lot to do with being afraid of the government. We fled persecution, and so government wasn't favored. And so we simply wanted to be left alone, and we stayed out of the spotlight in hopes that we wouldn't be persecuted, without realizing that America actually afforded us the ability to be able to stand up for our freedoms like we are today here at the Cap and Trade Rally.
Right.
So realizing that last year, we got permissions from our elders, and we have been working really hard getting people to register to vote and getting involved in the political spotlight.
So how's that going? Are you really getting a lot of your old believer community members registering to vote? I mean, are they getting, are they understanding how important this is?
We're really working hard at getting that message across. Many of them haven't been involved, and so it's been a lot of one-on-one conversations. It's been a lot of trainings. But we have gotten, I can honestly say, probably the majority of our community is already registered to vote. So we're going to fine-tune that by getting people their naturalized citizens.
Right.
So that once they become naturalized citizens, they can also register to vote. So, but it's been a journey for us and a learning experience as well. We didn't know, many of us haven't been to the Capitol before.
Right, right. I know you guys, so many of you came into our Oregon Citizen Lobby war room and were a part of that. But just learning how things work, right? You know, how do you pass a bill? How do you testify? You know, how do you go talk to a representative or a senator, right? Those are all things that are so important in communicating your story and your beliefs and your principles and the things you care about. And that's why I'm so proud of what you guys are doing. And I'm so excited about it, because I got to tell you, it just takes a few votes in some of these legislative districts and other people get elected, people who believe the way you do rather than the people believe who are running this place right now.
Right.
And if you guys can be a part of that, you know, in getting your old believer community active and understand how important this is, you'll provide those votes.
Right.
And that's how we win. And that's how we stand up for our liberty and the things that your community literally fled in other countries, the persecution for religious reasons and political reasons. You'll stop it. You'll stop it from happening here.
That's right. And those are the conversations that we're having with our community, is to share that we have that opportunity and we will not be persecuted in the way that we were before. What's happening now is, I call it honorable persecution. Honorable persecution, meaning the government comes in, they take our freedoms away, politely now, without action.
Well, you know, that's a sad truth. I mean, it's an interesting way of talking about it. It's honorable persecution. It's still persecution any way you look
at it. Exactly.
All right, so you're running for office. You have a website and Facebook page?
I do. Website is annakasachev.com.
Okay, so how do you spell the last name?
Last name, K-A-S-A-C-H-E-V. And it's Kasachev, like Chevy, the Chevy
right,
car,
right.
Kasachev.
Okay, that's a good way. That's a great
I'm
way.
I'm a Ford driver, by the way.
So am I, my dear. Good for you. It's Anna Kasachev.
Yep.
For Oregon?
It's just annakasachev.com.
Annakasachev.com. Okay, so the other question I ask everybody, what are the top three policy things you want to achieve if you get elected here for the people you're going to serve? What are the three main ideas you want to make happen in this building for the people you're going to serve?
So the three top issues that I would like to change, if possible, would be no heavy taxation. In fact, I think that Oregon, it has a surplus. We get a tax kicker every year.
Right.
So why do we need to continue to pass taxes? So tax is definitely something that I would look at. The other would be the pro-life issue. So, and then I'd look at parental rights and medical freedoms. Civil freedoms or any freedoms that are being taken away. Those are all being chipped away at slowly but surely. And if we don't protect those, we'll end up a socialist or a communist country. And that's unfortunate, because we have too many founders who fought to have our freedoms where we are today. So it's important that we protect those.
So those are the first two. What's the third one?
Gosh, third one. I'd have to bring awareness to comprehensive sex education in the schools.
Yes.
That's a huge topic. I don't think that people are aware of how graphic it is. And
most people have no idea how truly bad and graphic it is.
I spent some time digging in comprehensive sex education, and as an adult, I had to step away. And there was language in there that as an adult, I didn't know existed. There were things I learned that I didn't know. And this is stuff that's being taught to our kids. And it saddens me because what about their innocence?
Yes.
You know, absolutely. I understand Aaron's Law. I understand, and every parent supports safe touch and appropriate
right.
touch. So this goes beyond the scope of safe and appropriate touch. It's really about sex and how to do it and where you get it. And that's not okay because that's a promotion that we're doing.
Right.
And, you know, I struggle with it because it's just been such a journey for me in bringing attention to people. We interviewed some kids out of some local school districts, Malala School District being one, and they talked about how Planned Parenthood came in and did videos with two gay men having intercourse on a large screen. And these are 15-year-old kids watching this type of activity. That's pornography.
Right.
That's pornography.
Right.
Whether it
you can
is,
get arrested and thrown in jail for watching that.
Right. But the school district is allowed to show this to minors. But if you're an adult in a private home and you show this, you will be arrested.
Right.
And right. you'll go to jail.
You can't do it. I mean, it's crazy. Well, those are three really good reasons, because you have a couple of daughters here with you?
I do. I have my younger daughter, Melanie, and this is actually my grandbaby.
Oh, wow.
You have
grandchildren. You don't hardly look old enough to have grandkids.
I have six grandchildren.
You do?
My kids have been busy.
They have. The right way.
Yeah.
Well, and that's wonderful. Those are all really important reasons to want to run for office and then to
Absolutely.
Want to serve people. That's where the rubber meets the road. It's Anna Kasachev, right? I said
yes,
it right.
You did.
Kasachev, AnnaKasachev.com is how
yes.
that they can learn more about you. Do you have a Facebook page?
I do. I don't remember the Facebook page name.
Well,
but it is linked on the website.
It is. Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes. So I would just ask Oregon voters to help support my campaign. Our community's never had one run. Anyone from our community be represented at the Capitol, so we would love to have Oregon support.
Yes, absolutely.
In this. So, thank
Anna, thank you,
you
so much.
Thank
appreciate you.
You
stepping into the breach and
absolutely
and doing the right thing. It's
absolutely.
Anna Kasachev, just like it sounds, Kasachev.com. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
All right, friends, here we go. We are still live at the Capitol, and I'm going to bring on an old friend of mine. Who has long fought for liberty as a man of God, as a preacher. You know what's interesting at this state grounds here, we have a circuit rider statue.
Yes, we do.
And it is about Oregon's great history.
Yes.
And it is commemorated, and most people don't even know this exists as part of Oregon's history, how that in our country's beginning, there were all of these preachers who rode on horses
yes.
around these communities of the state of Oregon, and that's why they were called circuit riders. They were circuit preachers
yes.
going to little gatherings and little churches all over this state, and it is commemorated, but this giant statue that most people don't even know exists on the state fairgrounds. Joining me, or the state capitol grounds, is my friend Pastor Aaron Auer. How are you, brother?
Jeff, really good
to
be with you. You too. God bless you, my brother, for all your. I call you a preaching statesman, like Jason Lee was. You know,
he was, wasn't he?
He really was, and I got something here to kind of highlight from 100 years ago concerning Jason Lee. But just before that. I sure appreciate you just bringing attention to these great monuments. There was never a day in Oregon's history when they dedicated that in 1924. And I was discovering it with a rally in 2007 when I was here at a rally similar to this, you know. with domestic partnership gender identity bills.
Right.
And the Russian Slavic brethren were trying to wake us up. We're losing our state. We're losing our nation.
Yep.
Well, I've been here before and even offered up prayer in the House, but I'd never seen this statue. And when I saw it, I thought, this looks like a preacher on horse with Bible in hand. Well, I read the inscription, and here's what it reads, Jeff. Commemorating the labors and achievements of the ministers of the gospel, who as circuit riders became the friends, counselors, and evangels to the pioneers on every American frontier. And Jeff, I had a burning bush experience that day when I knew in my heart, I need to search this out because I was ignorant. I'm native Oregonian. No one's ever told me or showed me, but that day.
Yeah, they're not teaching that in the school.
No. But they used to.
They used to.
Curriculums where they showed from third grade the story was told, how the Native Americans walked 3,000 miles to find the Book of Heaven. The Word of God. I mean, you ever heard?
It's a true story.
It's a true story. It's validated from General Clark and from George Catlin and others there that circulated. That's why when the natives walked 3,000 miles, the Indians, for the Book of Heaven, how would they know there's a book? Well, there was a man by the name of Jedediah Strong Smith, the old shouting Methodist.
I'm sure he was a logger
and a timberman. Hallelujah. And he works his way up the Columbia River, making contact with the chiefs there and the tribes, and he had a book. He carried Bible and rifle in hand. And I still say, my brother, that's a great way to pack.
Bible and rifle in hand.
There's not a better way to pack than
that.
No. You're protected from all ends that way.
Bible first, but he made contact, so they had dreams and visions for many years and centuries about a book coming, and they needed what's written in this book. So they sent this delegation, and they showed up unannounced at the doorstep of General Clark from the Lewis and Clark expedition.
Wow.
They showed up unannounced. We're here for the Book of Heaven. They called it the White Man's Book of Heaven. I mean, can you imagine the intense interest? But thank God it was reported on.
Right.
There was a farewell speech of Hiokas Deacon, and when their departure a few months later, because two out of those four braves died while they were there. Their names are in a Catholic cemetery, their English and their Indian name. I've been there. I've seen it on this beautiful feather monument. But they circulated this farewell speech of Hiokas Deacon, and that's when the church on the East Coast identified it as the Macedonian Call of the West, and the nation immediately responded and handpicked the finest workers.
Wow.
And that man's name was who? Jason Lee.
Jason Lee,
and he came out here in 1834 with four others. I call them the first five starting spiritual trailblazers, because that's exactly who they were. And out of that Oregon mission became Willamette University.
Right.
Which is
right across the road from us.
Yes.
Here.
So now this brings us up to this booklet here. I'm just showing Jeff and our brother here. This is a life-size painting of Jason Lee in 1920. They unveiled his image behind the speaker's chair in the House of Representatives. 1920. This is 2020. 100 years later, we want to commemorate what the state legislature, including the governor of the day, Governor Ben Alcott, here's what he said about Jason Lee. It's right in this booklet. He said, unhesitantly, I say that Jason Lee was Oregon's most heroic figure.
Wow.
Can you imagine a statement from anybody, especially a governor, concerning the state that he governs? Well, they did that. Well, now this is destroyed, this life-size painting, because the Capitol burnt in 1935.
Right.
So this booklet here, I don't know where I even found it, but somehow the Lord's brought it forth, and it's a treasure. And so we're able this year, through what's written in this booklet, thank God for it, to tell all Oregonians again, according to the leaders of the day, the authorities, even the governors, making a statement. Let me show you where it's at, just so you know I'm reading it as it is. Unhesitantly, I say that Jason Lee was Oregon's most heroic figure. Governor Alcott. And so, Lord, help us to get the word out. And
I'll say, so 100 years later.
100 years later.
We now have an entirely different attitude about religion,
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they haven't tried to remove that thing. I think they have tried to remove it.
We were just talking about that. They've tried to remove it seven times.
Well, that's the Jason Lee statute.
Right.
The last 7 years of the legislature, starting in 2013, through an emergency clause, they've made an attempt to replace it.
To remove the Jason Lee statute in Congress at the U.S. Capitol building in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And replace it with Mark Hatfield.
Yes, and others.
Right.
And thank God for any good people. We're not criticizing others. We're just saying these, like the scripture says, Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. So he represents us to the nation.
He does.
Woo!
He does. All right. So let's fast forward to today, where we have this. The reason we're here is to stop what we think is something really bad. Okay. So why are you here as part of this event today?
Well, first of all, this is my heart to share with all these things, which it does connect to myself personally. I worked at Roseburg Lumber.
You did.
Yeah, down in Southern Oregon. Roseburg and the green plant, plant three, highballed 54s, you know, there, the green chain. And so I've got 5 years. I got vested there. My father worked at the particle board plant. And, you know, down there in Roseburg and Douglas County, they used to have patches on the law enforcement. I don't know if they still do, but Douglas County, timber capital of the world. And the renewable resource is so incredible that God's given us this to manage. But again, with over regulations of all things, overburden, taxation, and all this, it'll kill you. And people are so good to show up today to say, enough, that's it, no more. And so, but without the Lord's help, our labor is in vain. And that's why we always need to include the Lord in this event. And can I pray right now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let's do that.
So Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Yes. Thank you for each and every person, man, woman, boy, and girl that came, Lord, out of a good heart, for the good workers, for the good people, the citizens of Oregon, because we need the good jobs, the income, Lord, these livelihoods of the people of God that make it good for all of us. So you always will bless good, honest, hardworking people. Give them the strength, give them the courage to continue to fight this fight to the very end, because it takes faith, Lord. And we just ask for your blessing.
Yes.
Those that don't understand yet, those that are opposing, we pray for them, Lord, that they would come to their right mind. And Lord, bless the people as they've come here today. Without your help, we have no hope. And so may we return back to our glorious roots that's rooted in the Word of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it. Amen.
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 Pastor Auer, thanks for a great way to wind up our broadcast. Right. We're going to wind this thing down here.
Thank you so much.
I wasn't expecting a history lesson like that here today.
No, but well, it's a great history
lesson. It's a great history lesson.
It's the truth.
And one that should not be forgotten.
No.
You know,
that cannot be forgotten.
You know, and that's tying that into Timber Unity, the group that's here today fighting to stop this bad legislation. They're the same people that hold those conservative values, those Christian values that are going to fight for these causes as well.
How very true. Curtis Crittenden rejoins us. He's been out kind of trying to keep things straight for us.
Well, you know, it's the job of the wise and the semi-vicious to go out and round up interviewees, you know. So I can only be in one place at one time, guys. I can't be everywhere at once. What a great day, though. We've had so many wonderful folks come by the booth.
Isn't that incredible?
By the way, I don't know if you guys know, but they've been blowing these flipping horns all day.
Pretty much all day.
Have you noticed?
Since 6 this morning.
Since 6 this morning, yeah. I don't know if you noticed. Every homeless person downtown Salem is absolutely losing their minds right now. But let me tell you, since the past 5 hours, we have had so many people come by shaking our hands, thanking us for what we do. We're the only radio station covering it out here.
We are.
And the only media outlet here. It's just been so wonderful to see the support of our local community. And people all over the state have come here today in their trucks and all the places to support this.
Not just Oregon. I've had people come from Washington, Idaho, California.
Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. All over that are inspired by what Oregonians are doing on this Timber Unity movement. And they're afraid for their states. And, you know, you can all, maybe it's too late for California, well, but they appreciate that we're making the stand here, and they wanted to come up and give us their support.
As they should be. They should be worried. And honestly, it's one of those things that you should be concerned. And if you're not, something's really wrong with you, because this affects everybody. Everybody from the highest paid to the lowest paid. And I just want to say a quick thank you to, again, all of our sponsors for showing out today. We just appreciate you guys so much. We had Associated Oregon Loggers come out. We had Extreme Graphics come out. We had Dan Summers from Advantage Heating and Air. Love these guys. Hey, they've got a 20-year warranty going on right now for their stuff. Unbelievable stuff.
That's great.
They've got Value Days going on at True Value. Go down there to the one in Brooks right off I-5. They've got huge bargain days going on right now. Cascade Fruit and Produce, cascadeproduce.com. You can go on there. You can get a box of produce delivered to your house or business.
Wow.
On the regular. No
joke. To your house.
To your house. Wow. And one of these boxes will feed a family of four or five a couple times a week. It's incredible. And not to mention, we've got the best plumbing service going on right now. Budget Rooter Plumbing Service, veteran-owned and operated, wonderful guy. Dennis Dino and his family run those things. Been in business since 1999. Absolutely fantastic. And then, of course, we've got pizza here any second. He's on his way from Oddmo's. Going to feed the hungry crew here. And those guys deliver beer and wine now.
Oh, wow.
To your door business, as well as pizzas. I mean,
Come on. Don't have to go anywhere. Bring the party right to you.
We're all good. The party is still raging down here a little bit. We've got lots of truckers here still. They're making their rounds. We still have some food stuff going on over here. We've got, I would say, I heard an estimated total earlier from someone across the street saying they counted about 3,000 people or so here, about 3,300, give or take.
Wow.
And so if you were here last time, that's almost double.
Well, there were several hours and it was literally standing room only, elbow to elbow.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just packed. And the trucks, the convoy has not stopped. There's not a break in it.
Nope.
I mean, since 6 o'clock, they have been going strong.
Some of these guys aren't just going around the block either. I mean, there are some that keep going around the block and helping us out here. But honestly, most of these are new.
Yeah, that's true.
Are new.
It took them that long to get here because they were so gridlocked.
At about noon today, I heard from a friend of mine who is coming from Portland. They said from Wilsonville to here, two lanes of traffic.
Yeah.
The slow in the middle were at a dead stop.
That's just crazy.
Wow. Dead stop.
I mean, that's a testimony to the commitment of Oregonians and how upset people are right now and how they want to take this state back and put a stop to this.
Right.
These taxes that are killing our economy.
Exactly.
They're crippling us when we live in a time where the economy across the country is better than it's ever been because of Trump and his policies. And Oregon can't take advantage of that because of the Democrats in Salem and Kate Brown and what they're doing. And we're suffering here still, and we should be.
We're getting
blocked. It's time to get it back.
We're getting blocked at every level here, and it's not fair. It shouldn't be that way. And I pray for the day that the supermajority ends here in this pretty little state of ours.
Oh, man, I keep telling people, you know, we're a constitutional republic for a reason, and that's so we don't have mob rule.
Yeah.
If it was just a democracy, you could have that mob rule. But unfortunately, here in Oregon, the way it's set up, with the supermajority, we've got the mob rule now. And so we need to support our Republicans. They need to know it's okay to do a walkout.
Unfortunately,
to stop these votes.
That's the only way we can get something done.
That's right. It's the only way to stop.
Is if we leave.
Right.
Yep. How dumb is that?
Yeah, and they're trying to take that tool away from us, too.
What a shame.
Of course they are. New legislation is coming down.
What a shame that we would have to. Well, the people would have to change Oregon's constitution.
Right, that's right.
Yep.
That's right.
Okay, so they.
That's right.
And I don't think that's a smart move on their part. I think that ends up working against them big time.
It will eventually.
It will, sure.
But, you know, what my message is to the Democrats, I know there's Democrats that listen to this program and this station.
Yeah.
You guys have to understand that this cap and trade is going to hurt you.
Yes.
It's
absolutely.
You know, getting it passed is partisan. But once it hits, it's not a partisan issue. It's going to cripple the entire state and hurt every single Oregonian, every single business.
Right.
And
well, the reason these guys are out here for crying out loud is because if that goes through, then they're going to lose their business. They're going to lose their livelihood and a way to, you know, to support their families. And that's why they're here.
That's absolutely right.
And it's the rural way of life that we lose.
Thank you.
We've got a couple of hot dogs.
We're starving.
Yeah.
We're starving.
I'm going to work on these Oddmo pizzas.
Yeah,
they just showed up.
Oddmo just delivered some good-looking pizza to us. And we're going to take advantage of that here. Friends, it's been just a marvelous day.
nothing bad happened here. You know,
no.
the Antifa idiots didn't show up. I think, for some reason, I just don't think they want to try what they tried downtown Portland with a bunch of loggers for some reason. It's funny how that is, huh?
Yeah, that'd be the wrong crowd to mess with. This group
kind of would be
loggers
that
are here today.
Have you
they're already irritated.
Yeah.
You know, Antifa, you know, it'd be an interesting thing to see, but I'm afraid that'd be a losing battle.
They're big and burly. Let me tell you, the people that I've talked to, the loggers I spoke with, are Second Amendment believers as well. So,
amen.
There's some heat going on around here.
My guess is there's a lot of people packing heat today here at the Capitol building.
Yep.
The Capitol staff has been absolutely great to work with, and the state police officers here.
They really have.
Yeah. You know, that is true. The line staff here that have been keeping the grounds cleaned up and accommodating, facilitating Timber Unity, they do a great job.
And you know what you don't see? You don't see a lot of trash laying everywhere, do you?
No. No, you don't.
Like you see with other groups. And believe
yes,
me, because
right.
I come to the Capitol
yes.
a lot here.
Right.
You'll see a big group here have some kind of an event here, and there's trash everywhere. We pick up after ourselves.
Yes.
Well, it's because this group here understands that we're the ones paying for that.
Right.
We get it, and we care about Oregon. We care about the environment. And, you know, that's something that the left and Kate Brown's trying to say. We don't care about protecting the environment. That's why we don't want to pass this cap and trade stuff.
Right.
It's not that at all. I guarantee you this group here does more for the environment and more to make sure that we're minimizing our footprint than anybody else there
Absolutely.
Is. I guarantee it.
Absolutely.
We want to preserve what
true
we have.
True words could not be more spoken.
So it's just true. Been awesome out here today to see the turnout and... hopefully they heard the message in the building loud and clear.
Well, and hopefully Republicans heard it too, not just the Democrats.
Absolutely.
You know, the they're going to have a counter demonstration, not today, but, you know, next week apparently there's and what they'll have, and they'll get a few people who are true believers, but they'll have to hire a bunch of people to come down here.
Yep.
Okay. And, you know, they're going to try to be the counter to us, right?
Yep.
Well, the difference being is that, yeah, that'll help the people in the building justify their votes.
Right.
Okay, for the cap-and-trade mess.
Yep.
But it'll make a huge difference because we're a lot more engaged and a lot more passionate as a movement with all of these groups coming together in some of these swing legislative districts. And that means people who have not, just like we had Anna Kasachev and others,
yep.
They're now getting engaged like never before. And again, it just takes a few votes different in precincts in certain legislative districts. And these people don't have control of this building anymore.
Right. Well, one of the things that's a little bit different and that we have going that the other side doesn't is these people that are here today, these trucks that have came, they're financially invested in this right now.
Correct.
It was thousands of dollars of commitment
right.
just to come make
yeah.
this trip today.
Yeah.
And pull their employees out of work or get their truck off the road to come and make a presence here. They've got a financial commitment for what they've done today that's significant.
It's everything.
And they understand
yeah.
what kind of finances they're going to lose if this cap and trade.
If you're listening to us right now, just think this through yourself. What if you had a small business? You owned a few trucks. And maybe you're a local delivery company. And maybe you're a log truck. And government does something that literally puts you out of business.
Yeah.
You put your heart and soul, your investment in your business. And government, for some nefarious reason that'll make no difference at all, now makes a decision that causes you to have to shut your business down. How would you feel about
that?
Well, one of the
long-haul
truckers told us today that if this goes through, it's going to cost him an extra $50,000 to $70,000 a year. And fuel, and that's
just in fuel costs.
Just in fuel costs.
Yeah. Good.
How do you make up for that deficit?
You can't,
well, here's
you can't.
What you do. Here's how you make up the deficit. I'll tell you. You charge more to your customer.
Well,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, okay. So if we're going to charge more to our distribution base. Well, then our distribution base is going to what? Shrink.
Right.
Right.
And then what's going to happen? Well, then we really are going to go out of business because
right.
no one's going to do business with us. They're
right.
going to do
yep.
business with people outside of Oregon.
Yep.
To come here. Just in the final few minutes here, I want to encourage you. If you are listening to this. go to the Timber Unity Facebook page. Get involved. It's this kind of stuff that lights the fire under
it
people to
right.
really start to get involved and take a look at what's actually going on in Oregon behind the shroud of fakeness and all that stuff. Really encourage you to get involved and take a look and see what it is that you can do to get involved and help this stuff out, because we need every single voice to partner together to get this thing dumped. And I'm all for it. And I would walk out if I was them as well. I would walk out myself.
We need boots on the ground.
We have to.
And we need to keep the momentum through November.
Yes.
And we need to have record number voter turnout.
Absolutely.
That's where it's at.
And I think we will.
Oregon is not as blue as everybody thinks it is.
It's not. Now, the Electoral College is, which has been forever, but, you know.
We can, without question, turn this state around.
Madam, we are a red state. Yes, I'm talking to you, madam. We're a red state.
Yeah, it's one of those things that we've got to continue to get this message out.
Yeah.
And, you know, the neat thing about Timber Unity is that they brought all these different groups together.
Yes.
And we've got a coalition. No, it's
a partnership with hundreds
of other businesses and people that have different agendas.
Yeah.
But they understand for this cause, we need to work together. We need to be united.
Everyone that's been in competition with each other, running mates and different things that are going for offices and various things, literally set that aside today to come together.
They did.
And hang out and chat, not about themselves or their campaign. Nobody. I mean, they, of course, it came up in conversation, but nobody came to talk about their own agenda. Everyone was here to talk about what's best for Oregon.
Right. That's absolutely
that's
true.
That's what's important.
I will say on that note, though, we did talk to a lot of great people today. That they're going to be the future of Oregon, and it's neat to see them energized, and I really hope and pray for their campaigns that things go successful, because we need to flip this state.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, guys. And we can. And so as we sum this thing up, it's been what a great day. We've
working
been
live
with you guys.
For
thank
hours.
You. We've been live. We didn't think we were going to be live all day long, but
guess
it's worked
what?
Out fine.
We pulled it off, baby.
We did.
Yeah, we
did.
Really did.
It's worked out great.
And that's the beauty of live local radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane. Yeah. Loving it.
You can't.
And the only station that's here.
That's right.
KSLM.
We are the only station that's here. And say hello to one of my good friends here as we sort of finish up this broadcast.
Like we said, one more time, thank you guys so much to our sponsors. Thank you. Can't tell you enough for supporting Live
Absolutely.
Local Radio. Love it. Thank you also to Timber Unity for putting this thing on.
Yep.
Go to the Facebook page. Check it out. Sign the petitions. Get this thing dumped. Let's plug these guys one more time. Advantage Heating and Air. Associate Oregon Loggers, Extreme Graphics, Cascade Fruit and Produce, True Value, Oddmos Pizza, Budget Rooter. Thank you guys all so much for helping us out here.
Tomorrow morning at 6:30 on my show, Political Coffee, from 6 to 7 on KSLM. I'm going to have Kim Thatcher, State Senator Kim Thatcher from our area. She announced today she is running for Oregon Secretary of State.
Oh, that'd be a good idea.
So we're going to have her on the air to talk about that tomorrow. And in fact, we have some petitions we can sign in front of us to help
Kim
her get
Kim has
been
on so instrumental.
Wonderful.
She'll be an awesome Secretary
she
of State.
She will be an
Oregon.
Awesome Secretary of State.
Yep. And she knows the system. And and then on Saturday at 3 o'clock, Patriot Uprising Radio, we're going
That's
to have
right.
a recap on this Timber Unity Rally. And we're just going to see what we can do together as a group to keep this momentum going and keep getting the word out and stop this off the legislature.
Curtis, Mickey, great to work with you both.
All right, guys.
There's the music. We're done.
Bye-bye.
Pray for this great nation.